Blog Talk Radio.
Much for hanging out with me on this wonderful, fabulous Friday morning. It is nice and sunny here in St. Louis. I hope it's nice and sunny and lovely wherever you are too. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Again, thank you everyone for chilling with me. TGIF, people, the weekend is upon us. And I've got a ton of stuff to get to. As always, today it has been a very busy week. Never a dull moment in the world of politics, especially in an election year. And so let's get into it. I've got, of course, all of the latest polling numbers. We've got Trump. We've got Cruz. I got it all right here. So don't go anywhere. Hang out with me for the next hour. And, of course, you can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room, as always, is open. And you can go hang out in there if you like, if that is more to your liking. But let's get into it. Let's get into my stack of stuff. I don't know if anybody else is going to agree with this, but maybe people who are not exactly Donald Trump fans would like chronically agree with it, but I don't think it's been a very good week for Donald Trump. Again, I'm going to right off the top here say I am not a Donald Trump supporter per se. I would prefer not to in the interests of being fair and being objective. I don't want to talk about which candidate I'm for and which one I'm not. So, I mean, I have my preferences, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't, we'll talk about who I like and I don't like, you know, later on. But again, I try to be, excuse me, try to be objective here, and so I don't want to show my hand, as it were. But on Monday. Yes, I believe it was on Monday. We had Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski. I know everyone has heard about this story now, has been talking about it, and there's a lot of differing opinion on it. And everybody has seen the videotape. It's been rolled ad nauseum on TV, regardless of where you go to see it. But for anybody maybe who's been living under a rock, basically this incident took place on March the 8th, and it was during a press conference at Trump's golf club in Jupiter, Florida. And this is a report from the Palm Beach Post. So the press conference happens, and Trump is leaving the room where the press conference is being held. And of course, as he's leaving the room, he has campaign staff and he has Secret Service. He has his own security guys. He has, you know, a gang of people around him. And as he's trying to leave, there's not only the gang of people around him who are supposed to be there, security, et cetera, but of course there's media, there's reporters, there's camera people, there's, you know, you name it. And, Michelle Fields, who is formerly with Breitbart, she has since resigned her position over this incident from Breitbart News. On the video, she is shown immediately to Donald Trump's right, and she is attempting to ask him a question about affirmative action. And the story that, you know, Trump has gone on about how there's a bazillion cameras in this place, I don't doubt that. But all of the camera footage that I have seen from this is, it's not grainy, but it's not very clear either. And some people will say, oh, well, there's no doubt in my mind. And the accusation from Michelle Fields is that Corey Lewandowski, who is Donald Trump's campaign manager, as they are trying to get Trump through the crowd and out the door, out of the room, that he grabbed Michelle Fields by the arm and he grabbed her rather roughly and to get her out of the way. Well, later on, a day or so later, Michelle Fields is tweeting pictures of bruises on her arm. She says that she nearly fell to the ground, that Lewandowski pushed her so hard, not pushed her, but grabbed her and kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, yanked her out of the way, that he left bruises on her arm. Trump has said that she actually touched him. Whether she did or she didn't, she is a 28-year-old girl who, you know, is not, I don't know, unless she has a visible weapon, I don't know how, unless she has a visible weapon or she has a black belt in karate, I'm not sure how she is a threat to Donald Trump. I'm not a security expert, I don't know. But in the meantime, she, again, tweeted these pictures. She resigned her position with Breitbart along with Ben Shapiro. They both felt that Breitbart kind of threw her under the bus, didn't defend her, didn't back her up. That's another story. But basically what happened on Monday here is that Corey Lewandowski turned himself in to the Jupiter Police Department over this incident. There is some controversy about whether or not that he was arrested or he, again, the report that I saw, the one I have here is from the Palm Beach Post, was that he turned himself in and was charged. He was charged with misdemeanor battery. And so that's where it stands right now. Happens next. You know, the Jupiter Police Department, of course, is investigating this. They have said they are looking into the incident, and Michelle Fields had filed a police report. Lewandowski turned himself into Jupiter Police just after 8 a.m. on Monday morning. Again, the surveillance footage, you know, it may depend on what you're looking for. If you're looking to see someone being, again, for lack of a better word, assaulted, you may find it there. If you're looking for a lack of evidence to say that Michelle Fields is not telling the truth, you may find that there as well. But, again, Michelle Fields tweeted out pictures of the bruises on her arm that she says that she received as a result of this. And Lewandowski replied to her tweet and said that, quote, "You are totally delusional. I never touched you. As a matter of fact, I have never even met you," unquote. I don't know that he made things any better for himself by doing that. You know, I get somebody wanting to defend themselves, of course, but so right now, Corey Lewandowski has been charged with misdemeanor battery by the Jupiter Police Department, and we will see where this goes again. For myself, you know, I'm like everyone else. I've seen this videotape nine ways to Sunday, and it's hard really to see anything. On first reaction, I think that I see him kind of move her out of the way. And if it was enough to warrant all of those bruises, I think that it was probably something that maybe you would have had to be there, because the videotape is an overhead tape, and so you're looking at things from an overhead angle. And I think that if you were to judge just how roughly he moved her out of the way, maybe you would have had to been there on the ground to see it. Know that I see what she is alleging. I certainly am not going to endorse campaign employees to be roughing up, manhandling reporters in any way, shape, or fashion, be they male or female. That's not your job. There are, in Donald Trump's case, Donald Trump has his own security people around him. Donald Trump has Secret Service around him. So there's no need for someone to do that. Now, if he did it just to, you know, let's say so you're in a room and somebody is between you and the door and there's a crowd of people there, and you need that person to move just so that you can get out the door, and you say, excuse me, and you kind of touch them on the arm or the shoulder or whatever it is in order to prompt their moving out of the way, that's one thing. But again, no, if in fact this happened, he has no right to be grabbing reporters, again, be they male or female, in that fashion and removing them from Donald Trump's path or anyone else. But you know, this video is all over the place, and it's going to it's gonna get a lot of reaction from women, and the problem with this is that Donald Trump's negatives with women are already bad. His negatives are roughly 70% of women have a negative opinion of him. Whether that's justly warranted, you know, I don't know. But this isn't going to help him, and I think that his campaign is going to have to address that. That I think they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to address the fact that they do have a problem with women, that Donald Trump has a problem with women, that his negatives are that high, that they're that far up there. And so it'll be interesting to see, I guess, how this case moves forward. If there is any sort of, you know, if there is fine, if there is, you know, whatever accountability that Corey Lewandowski faces. I have also seen, and I don't know, you know, that old saying, everything on the internet must be true. Well, you know, yeah. But I've seen things also, and in fairness to present both sides of the story, I've seen things on the internet that allude to the fact that Michelle Fields kind of has a track record with this sort of thing. Again, whether this happened or it didn't happen, I'm willing to let the Jupiter Police Department figure it out, because that's what they do. That's what they get paid for. And let them determine what, if anything, happened here and go from there. Michelle Fields is absolutely within her right, if she feels that she has been assaulted, to file a police report against Corey Lewandowski. That's fine. But again, I don't want to sit here and say, yes, he's guilty or no, he's not, until, you know, it's like anything else. Let's get all the facts out there. And I'm not saying that she's lying, but what I'm saying is just that. Let's get all the facts out of the way, and we'll see what happens here. But again, Trump has a woman problem as far as his campaign goes, and it's something that the campaign is going to have to address. And the other thing is, this just happened, today's Friday, so maybe Wednesday night, Donald Trump did a town hall style meeting on PMSNBC with Mr. Tingles himself, Chris Matthews. You know, you got to wonder, is Chrissy feeling that tingle up his leg when it comes to Hillary or Bernie Sanders, like he did with Obama? I just, you know, I got to wonder, you know, is the thrill gone for him? Or, I mean, we know he'd never admit it, but, you know, I just something you got to wonder about. But for anyone who saw this, and it was a one-on-one with Donald Trump and Chris Matthews, that Chris Matthews, well, let me start out by saying, you know, we pretty much know all the tactics of the left. And if they come up with something new, it doesn't usually surprise us, because it's one of those things, just when you think you've seen it all, well, you haven't. But we know that liberal media is no friend of conservatives. They're going to do whatever they feel they need to get whoever candidate it is. They're going to do what they need to do to get that person in a gotcha moment, to get that person in some sort of situation where they say something, but it's not they say it in a way that they don't really mean, that maybe it comes out of their mouth kind of convoluted in a messed up kind of way. And that's the tactic. That is the ultimate goal of liberal media, is to make conservative candidates look bad. Pure and simple. That's the goal. That's the deal. And Chris Matthews, of course, being the always willing foot soldier for the left and for the liberal media that he is, wasted no time in doing that with Donald Trump. And there's two things in this clip that I'm going to play. And one of the things has gotten a lot of attention, but the other thing I don't think has not. And I'm going to play this clip. This is from the town hall style meeting on PMSNBC the other night for between Donald Trump and Chris Matthews. Let's listen.
And Donald Trump.
Should the woman be punished for having an abortion? Look, and this is not something you can dodge. If you say abortion is a crime or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're forbidding
it. Are you going to say, well, wait, are you going to say put them in jail? Is that the
punishment
you're talking
about? Well, no, but I'm asking you, because you say you want to ban it. What's that mean?
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
You ban it, and they go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think.
And how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem with it.
No, but let me ask you, but what do you say about...
It's not funny.
...your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments, but you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years,
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know. That
why
I don't
not?
Know. I don't
you
know.
You take positions on everything else.
I do take positions on everything else. It's a very complicated position.
And
so the thing is here, first of all, is that we've had how many debates? We had 10, 11, 12 debates. How often has the subject of abortion come up in any of these debates? It's come up a few times. It's come up here and there. But by and large, it really has not been a topic that the candidates are discussing. Well, because they're too busy trashing each other's wives and you know, things of that nature. But and it's at times it has been kind of hard to talk about the issues that people care about. But the topic of abortion really has not been front and center for any of these candidates for any of these debates. And that's really what makes it a gotcha question here, first of all, is for Chris Matthews to even bring it up when really nobody has been talking about it. And second of all, he's bringing up this purely boneheaded hypothetical situation that's not going to happen unless Roe versus Wade is overturned, and it's not, abortion is not going to be made illegal. It's if it is, it would be a very long drawn out process, and it would be a very long time, perhaps years, before it actually happened. So Matthews is putting forth this totally hypothetical situation that nine chances out of is never going to happen. And he's asking Donald Trump to comment on it. That right there, those two aspects make it a gotcha moment. It makes it a gotcha question. And Matthews knows it because he knows what he's trying to do. He is a faithful Democrat foot soldier. So he is, again, making the Republican candidate look bad. You know, whether or not Donald Trump is a conservative is a topic for another day. But Chris Matthews' sole agenda is making the Republican candidate look bad. And the thing is that by trade and by nature, Donald Trump is not a politician. People forget, I mean, you can say what you want about that statement, but he has only been at this since last June. That's not a long time. And he is maybe not as familiar as the rest of us with the tactics of the left and with the tactics of a Chris Matthews. You also notice, too, that when Chris Matthews is interviewing him, these are rapid-fire questions. Bam, 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 bam. Well, why isn't it legal? Would you make it legal? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? Well, what do you believe? You have a topic on opinion on everything else. Bam, 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 bam. And that is designed to discombobulate Donald Trump and to get him unnerved. And I think to a point it worked a little bit. But, again, Donald Trump being a newbie, being a political novice is to his disadvantage in this situation, because maybe, again, he is not as familiar with left-wing reporters and left-wing interviewers like Chris Matthews to know that he should be prepared for these kind of questions. And basically what he should have done was reject the whole premise of the question and say, well, you know, Chris, you know, this is a purely hypothetical question that I don't even feel I need to answer, because in all actuality, this is something that is really not going to happen. Therefore, it really does not enter into the debate. And that would have kind of thrown the onus back on Matthews. Somehow he probably would have done it. He probably would have made some half-assed, feeble attempt to do it, but to justify why he was setting up Trump and setting up this hypothetical. But there's another thing about just this 1 minute and a half clip that I thought was interesting, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to take a quick break, and I will get back to it. We will get back to Donald Trump and Mr. Tingles in just one moment. I got a ton of stuff left to get to. TGIF people, you are listening to The Conservative Cauldron. I am Becky Noble, your host. Please don't go anywhere. Stay right where you are.
And Donald Trump.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, TGIF people. We have made it. The weekend is upon us. I am so glad. I am very, very glad for that. And as I'm sure that all of you are as well. But we've got a lot to get to today. We have been talking about, maybe the not so good week that Donald Trump has had. A lot of you may jump up and down on the table and yell and scream and shout yippee about that. But hey, God bless America. That's why we are who we are, that we all we can all support the candidate of our choice. But for anybody who didn't see it, I believe it was Wednesday night, there was a town hall style one-on-one interview between Donald Trump and Mr. Tingles himself, Chris Matthews. And Matthews kind of set Trump up with a gotcha question about abortion. And I think I saw Newt Gingrich last night, and I think that Newt described it best when he said that that it was a rookie mistake. And what needs to happen in the future is that whoever preps Donald Trump for these interviews, especially if it's somebody like Chris Matthews, that it's somebody that needs to be familiar with the left and with liberal media like Chris Matthews. That, and I said this before the break, their ultimate goal, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Ted Cruz, whether it's John Kasich, their ultimate goal is to make the conservative candidate look bad. That is the order of the day for them. And I think that Matthews kind of succeeded a little bit because, again, what Trump should have done was just said, I reject the whole premise of this question. But he also needs to be prepared that these kind of situations are going to arise and that they're going to take place. But the other thing, and so that's really kind of what people have been talking about is how they thought that Chris Matthews really kind of did what he set out to do here and caught Donald Trump off guard and unprepared for a gotcha moment. But the other thing that I noticed about this particular clip that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about is that there was one portion of it that where Donald Trump did very well at, I thought, and that was when Donald Trump asked Chris Matthews about whether or not he was a Catholic and about the teachings of his church. And you could tell you can hear it in this clip, but if you actually see this clip, you can go to YouTube and see it. Matthews gets real prickly and real uncomfortable when Donald Trump turns that questioning back around to him. And you notice his answer is something to the effect of that he concurs with the moral authority of the church, but the legal, and he starts to say something about the legal aspects of it, and Trump cuts him off. But I thought it was a brilliant move on Donald Trump's part to ask that question of Chris Matthews, because he clearly didn't like it, and he was clearly uncomfortable about the whole thing. And so it was kind of a bit of a gotcha back moment for Donald Trump, I thought, because I really kind of thought that it threw Chris Matthews off a little bit, because he was on a roll. He was in a zone there. He knew he was getting Trump right where he wanted him, but then Trump all of a sudden came back with that question. So it was a good move for Donald Trump, and I don't think that a lot of people are talking about that. But again, he's going to have to be prepared for liberal media and what they're going to do to him should he become the nominee, not just for the rest of this campaign season, but should he become the Republican presidential nominee. And really, in all actuality, we know this to be the case, that it doesn't matter. Again, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, they're all going to do it. And you know, I think probably the person who really is the most prepared for it and is on the lookout the most for it is Ted Cruz, because he has been such a victim of it in the past. And so he almost knows instinctively what to look for, but you know, it will see what happens. It'll be interesting to see, maybe if someone will come in and start to prepare Donald Trump for these kinds of gotcha situations. But also this week, Wisconsin governor and Wisconsin's primary is this upcoming Tuesday, April the 5th. And Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker on Tuesday endorsed Ted Cruz for president. And, you know, whether or not you're a Trump supporter or a Cruz supporter, who you are, I really think that this is an endorsement that you've got to respect, given Scott Walker's past and given his track record and the things that he has been through at the hands of the left in Wisconsin. But he did formally announce his endorsement of Ted Cruz. It was on Charlie Sykes' radio show on WTMJ in Milwaukee. And the statement that he gave was, this is a report I have from Newsmax. The statement that the governor gave was, quote, "After 8 years of the failed Obama-Clinton administration, Americans are looking for real leadership and a new direction. Ted Cruz is a principled constitutional conservative who understands that power belongs to the states and to the people and not bureaucrats in Washington." He went on to say, "Just like we did in Wisconsin, Ted Cruz is not afraid to challenge the status quo and to stand up against the big government special interests. He is the best positioned candidate to both win the Republican nomination and defeat Hillary Clinton. That's why I endorse Ted Cruz for president of the United States," unquote. And again, given Scott Walker's past with the left and with private sector unions and things like that in Wisconsin, he addressed three simple points. And this is the reason that I think you really do have to respect an endorsement like this, that he said, number one, he is a constitutional conservative, and I also believe that. Statement on that was, quote, "I know as a governor and like other governors across the country, we need a leader in Washington who understands that the founders intended for the power really to be in the states and most importantly in the hands of the people and not concentrated in Washington. Ted Cruz not only believes that, but has shown he's willing to act on that." And I would agree with the governor. I believe that he has acted on that. Number two was that he has taken on big government special interests. The quote from the governor was, quote, "That's something that Ted Cruz has not only talked about in his campaign, but has shown he is not afraid to take on those interests. And that's exactly what we need as in a president as well." Again, he's positioned to win. If you look at the facts and look at the numbers, Ted Cruz is the best position to both in the nomination of the Republican Party and to go on to defeat Hillary Clinton this fall. So I thought that they were, they were well thought out points, very well articulated. And again, thanking the governor for his endorsement, Ted Cruz pointed out that Scott Walker has, that he has, I believe that the stat, and I could be wrong, he's won 3 out of 4 elections, including a recall election in Wisconsin, and he did it very handily. And it was they were, especially the recall election, those elections were very, very nasty campaigns. The left wing, those unions in Wisconsin, threw everything but the kitchen sink at him. They threatened him. They threatened his family. They showed up on his doorstep. They did, you name it, and they did it. And Scott Walker was somebody that I liked early on specifically because of this. I mean, all you have to do is look at his track record in Wisconsin. And that was, I think that's very impressive. And so I think Ted Cruz has a good point there in being able to look at the track record of someone like Scott Walker and what he has done and what he's been up against in Wisconsin. And so we have that. We have Scott Walker formally endorsing Ted Cruz for the Republican nomination. Speaking of endorsements and nominations and numbers, I have from Real Clear Politics. This is the Real Clear Politics average poll that is up on RealClearPolitics.com. It's a great website. Go there. They have all the numbers. I will give them to you now. Right now, nationally, we have Donald Trump, 42.1%. Ted Cruz, 31.7%. John Kasich, 19.3%. This is a delegate count. Donald Trump right now is at 736, Ted Cruz 463, and John Kasich 143. In Wisconsin, again, which is this Tuesday, April the 5th, their primary, I don't know, forgive me, but I am not sure, maybe someone can tell me via phone call and or chat room, if I'm not sure if Wisconsin is a winner-take-all state or if they are proportional. But right now in Wisconsin, we have Ted Cruz at 36.5, Donald Trump 32.7, John Kasich 21. Now, in Wisconsin, this is right now, this according to Real Clear Politics, they have Cruz up by roughly 4. I've seen it as much as 10. I do think it's going to be a good day for Ted Cruz. Coming up in New York, I believe, is April the 26th. So this is a little gives you a little broader outlook at what may happen down the road. Donald Trump is at 54%, John Kasich 16.8%, and Ted Cruz 15.6%. That's to be expected. Donald Trump is a native New Yorker, and that's the thing with Donald Trump. I don't know that you can dispute the fact that Donald Trump definitely puts New York in play. And that makes things interesting. In Pennsylvania is on April the 26th. I'm sorry, New York is not April the 20th. Oh, yeah, it is April the 19th. I'm sorry. New York primary is April the 19th. Pennsylvania is April the 26th. I'm looking at my list here. Right now in Pennsylvania, Donald Trump is up 34.5%. John Kasich 20%, and Ted Cruz 18.5%. They also give numbers here for California. California is one of the last states to hold a primary, and that is not until June. I believe it's June the 7th. And but right now in California, Donald Trump is at 34.3%, Ted Cruz 26%, and John Kasich 15.8%. On the other side of the coin, on the Democrat side of the aisle, nationally, Hillary Clinton is at 51%. Bernie Sanders is at 42.4%. In the delegate count, now the Democrats have to have more. Their delegate count in order to secure the nomination is higher than the Republicans. Hillary Clinton right now is at 1,243. Bernie Sanders is at 980. Currently, right now in Wisconsin, Bernie Sanders holds the lead with 47.5%. Hillary Clinton is at 45.3%. In New York, as to be expected, being the carpetbagger that she is, Hillary Clinton is up at 60%. Bernie Sanders is at 33%. In Pennsylvania, Hillary Clinton, 55%. Bernie Sanders, 27.5%. In California, Clinton, 47.5%. Sanders, 38.5%. So that's kind of the outlook right now. I think that Bernie Sanders is also probably going to do well in Wisconsin. Those are the numbers right now as I have them. But, you know, as far as a John Kasich goes, I think that this is – and I don't want to say too much about it because I think it's conventional wisdom at this point that he is – he's playing spoiler at this point. And the other little thing, too, about that is that Marco Rubio has yet to release his delegates to move on as well. So there's little bits and pieces here. There's little odds and ends that are going to make this interesting. And while we are talking about the Democrats and we are talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, I also saw something interesting this morning. This was on Newsmax, and it says that we already know that, at least I heard this maybe Wednesday or Thursday, that FBI Director James Comey himself is going to be interviewing Hillary Clinton on her the state of her email. And what I saw this morning is that this interview could be coming within days. And you know, this is one of those pop your popcorn and get all comfy on the couch kind of moments, because I think we all get that whatever Hillary Clinton has to say, and I don't think that anybody is fooling themselves into believing it's going to be anything close to the truth. Anything that Hillary Clinton has to say is going to be very interesting. And so we will see if that indeed does happen within the coming days, if FBI Director James Comey himself is going to do the interviewing. But back over on the conservative side of the aisle here, everybody remembers that loyalty oath back late summer, early fall, about the time that all of the debates started taking place and things like that, that all of the candidates were asked if would you support the eventual nominee should it not be yourself. And of course, in that first Fox News debate, Donald Trump, when everyone was asked to raise their hand, yes or no, would you support the nominee regardless of who it is? And every hand went up at that point but Donald Trump, and that was a big deal. Well, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and a lot of things have happened. And now it seems that the loyalty oaths may not be not just the one signed by Donald Trump, but the one signed by all of the candidates, kind of isn't worth the paper it's written on. And this is from a report from Newsmax from Wednesday. It says, consider the Republican National Committee's loyalty pledge all but dead. All three of the remaining Republican presidential candidates said Tuesday at a CNN town hall meeting in Milwaukee that they no longer feel beholden to the, quote, loyalty pledge they signed in September not to run as a third-party candidate and to support the party's presidential nominee. When asked point blank if he would pledge his support to the nominee, Trump answered, quote, no, I don't anymore. I've been treated very unfairly, unquote. Asked three times whether he would support Trump as the party's nominee, Texas Senator Ted Cruz refused to give a yes or no answer. Quote, I'm not in the habit of supporting someone who attacks my wife and my family, unquote, Cruz said. He went on to say, I think that nominating Donald Trump would be an absolute train wreck. I think it would hand the general election to Hillary Clinton. Ohio Governor John Kasich also dodged the question of whether he would support whoever became the Republican nominee, but left open the possibility that he might not. Quote, maybe I won't answer it either, Kasich said. I don't want to be political here. I've got to see what happens. Well, the thing with Kasich, and everybody knows this now, is that he's banking on a contested election. He's banking on the fact that neither Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz get to 1,237 delegates, and so that throws things open. And my own thought on that is that, well, a couple of things. First of all, as far as the loyalty pledge goes, why in the hell would they honor it at this point? Quite frankly, why would any of them, given the behavior of the GOP and the GOP establishment, give a loyalty oath to anyone at this point? And, you know, I got to say that I think that if you are RNC Chairman Reince Priebus, you have a chronic case of the sweats about now. You know, you're going to see him on TV and being interviewed and in various assorted places, and he's not going to – he's going to be cool and calm and collected and be like, oh, what, me worry? No. No, I think if you're Reince Priebus and you're in a back room where nobody can see you, you've got a chronic case of the sweats going on at this point, because it's not exactly pretty right now, and it's going to get less attractive as the days and weeks go on. But I got a little thing I found this morning also about Reince Priebus's successor. I'm going to take a break, and I will be back, and we will talk about who the names may be being batted around for said successor of RNC Chairman Reince Priebus. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for chilling out with me on this fabulous Friday morning, TGIF. Stay right where you are. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging with me on this Friday, TGIF. We've made it, people. The weekend is upon us. Oh, it was iffy there for a while, but here we are. And we are talking about a lot of things. We're talking about, of course, all things presidential election, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, all of the goings-on this week. And this is kind of interesting. I was just saying before the break that we were talking about how everybody remember the loyalty pledge that all of the candidates took at when we started all of this. That kind of isn't worth the paper it's written on right now. And if you are Reince Priebus, you got to have a big case of the sweats going on about now. Well, Reince Priebus has been the RNC chairman for 6 years, and he is expected to step down next January 2017. This is a report from The Hill. And if a Republican wins the presidency, it's not as big a deal as if a Democrat wins. The president usually picks it says the president picks the leader of his own party. So if a Democrat wins, it's going to be we're going to have another horse race. And It says here, a candidate must gain a simple majority of the 168 GOP National Committee members who represent the states, District of Columbia, and a few territories. Some contenders include former presidential candidates Carly Fiorina and Senator Marco Rubio. And, of course, Carly Fiorina was a pretty strong Hillary Clinton critic during her presidential run. And Marco Rubio is retiring from his Florida Senate seat in January. It is being talked about that perhaps if Hillary Clinton became president, that they would look to a woman to be the head of the GOP. And Sandra Day O'Connor has been the co-chairman of the party since 2011. Her name is being talked about. House GOP Conference Chairwoman Kathy McMorris Rogers. She is the highest ranking woman in Congress. Rona, I'm not sure how you say her name, R-O-N-N-A, Rona Romney McDowell, who is Mitt Romney's niece and chairwoman of the Michigan Republican Party, says she's not interested in the job, but she never says never says, quote, a source. Our own Ann Wagner here in Missouri ran unsuccessfully for this job in 2011. Her name is also being mentioned. Susan Hutchison is the GOP chairwoman in Washington. Other possibilities include Sean Spicer, the RNC's communications director. South Carolina State GOP Chairman Matt Moore has said he has been approached about putting his name in a hat, but he is more focused on getting a Republican elected president. Arizona GOP Chairman Mike Graham is also considering a run. He has not said yes or no yet. Matt Pinnell was Reince Priebus' national state party director. He is getting the most buzz as one state chairman. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. Reince Priebus' reviews on the job are mixed at best. I myself have not been a big Reince Priebus fan. I think he's been a little wishy-washy, but we will see what happens. But hopefully you are all sitting down for this next one, because President Barack Obama on Monday, he was at a journalism awards ceremony, and well, he chided the media on not digging deep enough on presidential candidates, and not really getting the whole scoop. Oh yeah, no, I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding. President Barack Obama on Monday challenged the U.S. media, stop chasing ratings and take on 2016 election candidates who are willing to, quote, lie out loud, unquote, and whose campaigns are, quote, untethered from reason. Without calling out Donald Trump by name, Obama used a journalism award ceremony in Washington to deliver his toughest condemnation yet of the caustic tone of the presidential election campaign and the media coverage of it. Training fire on television networks, often breathless coverage of Trump's campaign and wall-to-wall interviews with the controversial businessman. Obama said, quote, a job well done is about more than just handing someone a microphone. He said the electorate would be better served if the media were to, quote, probe into question and to dig deeper and demand more. This is the same guy that the mainstream liberal media has had their collective head up his butt for the last 7 years. No one asked about his relationship with Bill Ayers. No one asked him about his relationship with Jeremiah Wright. No one asked him about his relationship with Frank Davis. All of these things, no one asked him about his relationship with Acorn. None of these things, all of these things were just put aside. And there was even, if anybody remembers back in 2008, they put him up on such a pedestal that even, I believe it was on CNN, I wish I should have found this, Evan Thomas talked about him sort of being above God. He was just so, everyone just loved him, and there were fainting spells, and it was just, and the media reported every single person that fainted, and it was just breathless, and for this guy to be making those kind of statements about the media now, my first reaction, and I wrote this, I'm not sure why I did it. I wrote this at the top of the story when I printed it out, so I knew I wanted to talk about it today. In big letters, I wrote, are you kidding? It's just, I was really glad I was sitting down when I saw it. And, you know, we know the level of hypocrisy that comes from this president and this administration. And I think it's just another, when you think you've seen it all, you really haven't. So I will leave that little tidbit there on the table for you all to peruse. Please, the whole report is at Newsmax. The title is Obama Skewers Media Over Trump Coverage, quote, Dig Deeper, Demand More. Anyway, before I leave you all today, this isn't exactly a silly story, but it's a feel-good story. It will make you feel like there is hope for the younger generation who is going to take care of us all when we are old and drooling. A hard-up California teen's bid to raise money to take his girlfriend out on a date has gone viral. Facebook users came out to celebrate his entrepreneurship. In a post last week, Oakdale resident Ryan Cox explained how a 14-year-old boy approached him offering to mow his lawn for $5. The post has received almost 100,000 shares on Facebook over the past week. When quizzed about his reasons, the boy explained that, "I'd like to take my girlfriend to lunch tomorrow, and we don't have enough money." Mr. Cox said he was so moved by this that he went door-to-door to help drum up business for the teen and raise the necessary funds. He has commended the teen for his initiative and not relying on parental charity. He busted his ass mowing lawns and sweeping sidewalks and made enough to take his girlfriend to lunch and get her flowers, Mr. Cox wrote. I'm so happy this still exists. Hope is still alive for the future generation and our sons and daughters. And you know what? Good work on the part of that teenager. Good for him for realizing that he needed some money and he went out and he worked for it. Good for him. And yeah, it makes you think that there is a little bit of hope left for, again, the generation coming up behind us who is going to take care of us when we're all old and drooling. With that, I am out of here. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. Please go to facebook.com/BeckyNoble. I am on Twitter at PatriotWitch, theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com, renegadepoliticsblog.wordpress.com, lots of good stuff there, and Kevin Jackson, myself, and a bunch of other awesomely talented people at theblacksphere.net. Please go there and check it out. Everyone have a fabulous weekend, and I will see you, well, and hear from you next time. Have a great weekend.